our love of Jesus was transmitted by people hearing something and then going somewhere else and telling about it and saying, oh, this is what we heard and this is what Jesus did, and these first-hand accounts. And so I just wanted to say that by means of explanation, that's what we're going to do this morning, that actually we went away to Catalyst Festival, and many of us went away, but many of us didn't. But it was a really, really significant time. And so there's a few people that I've just asked to come and share their highlights of the weekend away. But it's part of, I feel it's part of an apostolic tradition of going somewhere, seeing something and hearing something, and then feeding back and seeing what God has done, which is very, very exciting. Before we do that, is Io Alanian in there? Is he here this morning? Okay, they're not here this morning. I just need to let you know, we are going to continue to pray for Io, because yesterday, this building was filled with people for a photo shoot for Io's charity that he runs, Love Doesn't Hurt, Domestic Violence UK. So if you see people walking around with a t-shirt with hashtag Love Doesn't Hurt, he is running this charity, and it's basically supporting people who suffer from all sorts of domestic violence in the UK. And the numbers of people that he brought here to have their photographs taken and to support the charity, a number of really well famous people, Jeanette Manrara, who won Strictly Come Dancing, and they are supporting what Io is doing. So we really love what he is doing. And I'm not surprised he's here, because he was working flat out yesterday. But it was filled, and we want to pray, because that man is making a real difference in some really hard areas. And you know, the thing is, he will not talk about it. If he was here and I asked him to come up, he wouldn't come up, because he just likes to be in the background. But he's a man, God is on that man to bring real peace and comfort to people who are struggling with domestic violence. So let me just pray for him, and then we will crack on. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Io and Kenny Alanian. I want to thank you, Lord, that even though he works extraordinary hours in sorting out domestic bills and energy supplies and all sorts of things like that, he just gives incredible amount of time to running a charity to support people going through incredibly difficult times. And Lord, I want to thank you that we have a Christian man and woman right at the heart of that, oh God, speaking peace and grace and healing and comfort and support and encouragement to those people. So we ask, oh God, we thank you for all these people that gathered in this building yesterday. We thank you for all the photographs that were taken, for all the publicity. And we say, Lord, would you bring tremendous success to that charity and to that man, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a video that was taken of a Catalyst Festival that was just a really brief sort of overview of what happened. And Tim, are we all right to show that? I just need to point something out to you. There is a highlight of somebody. There is somebody's name that you might recognize in one of the highlights. Just letting you know. Okay, here we go. Let's watch it.
Welcome to Catalyst Festival 2016.
It's so hard to choose one highlight, but apart from being beaten on the bungee run by my son, I think it has to be hearing Jerry's story, the head teacher from London. It was just phenomenal to see a guy living for Jesus in the marketplace so effectively.
One highlight for me were the two interviews from people during the overseas session on Monday morning. To hear Rebecca, a 19-year-old who'd grown up as a church-planting family in another culture in Turkey, and then to hear Booker, who is church-planting in Malawi and many other African countries, and to hear that we need to remain focused in order to be able to church-plant in the same way in the West. What I would like people to take away from this festival is the confidence that they can live out the kingdom of God in their ordinary circumstances, in their job, but also that some of them, through obedient faith, can make fresh steps to either go to another nation, church plant somewhere else, or take fresh initiatives for the kingdom in their daily work.
We've been inspired at this festival with all that God is doing around the world, and now it's our job to take that message, to multiply it wherever we go. Go make disciples who make disciples.
No. I hope that gives just a little bit of the flavour. And I know we gave Jerry a really hard time because he was up there, but it was just so exciting. And Jerry, I don't know if in a minute you could give a 1 minute synopsis of what you said. If that would be all right, that would be really helpful. We did give Jerry a hard time, but only because, I tell you, on the Sunday, we saw Jerry on the stage in front of thousands of people talking about living his faith out in a school setting. We then had some prayer cards that were read out. And one of those prayer cards was Tim Dieppe's prayer card. And he just said, "Thank God that I was able to share the gospel on Voice of Islam Radio." And you just think, oh, so Jerry was up there. So Trinity. And then Tim's prayer request was then read out. And then later on in the afternoon, Dave led a seminar about healing. And you know, I just felt there was something of Trinity Church having a real impact. And you know, we're not a massive church. But I felt on that Sunday, you know, we released people to see an incredible impact on the whole of that, sort of like the whole of the festival. And there was, I don't want to feel proud, but there was a little part of me that thought, oh God, you are on us to do something. You are on us to have an impact above and beyond where we are right here. One of the other incredible highlights was seeing Joshua Spybe come up and stand up in front of probably, so how old is Joshua? He's eight, and he came up and he stood up in probably in front of 4,000 people and shared a prophetic word for people about healing. And people responded. And you think, oh, God is on, you know, God is on us. And I'm not saying it's just on us, but this is part of our inheritance of who we're supposed to be, of people that bring real shape and influence. Jerry, do you mind just coming in, just really briefly? Yeah, could you just really briefly just say what?
Okay, so yeah, it was amazing festival, and I think what God stirred in my heart is that actually He's reminded me. I kind of said a few things up on stage. So I said, God has called us to be salt and light. That's all of us. He's placed the Holy Spirit in our heart, and with the King of Kings, all things are possible. And I kind of said a little thing. I said that ordinary things can become extraordinary. And I see that a lot. It's such a privilege being a head teacher. I've been a head teacher now of three schools, and just the number of interactions that you have in a day is just phenomenal. But what was really encouraging after I spoke is so many people came up who work in schools. Mm. And I said to Adrian, he said, oh, would you pray for the teachers at the end of what you said? And I said, let's pray for the teachers, the teaching assistants, the mealtime supervisors, in other words, anybody that works in a school. So it's really important to remember, it's not just the teachers, it's not just head teachers, it's anybody. And actually that's a message for me this morning to all of you. We've had some amazing times of worship in this building, and God is really on this church. Even this morning, just precious, precious times. And it's great to have good times on a Sunday morning, but it's actually about us going out in the world, isn't it?
Amen.
And I think I told a few stories just of little things that have a massive impact. And, you know, I've even just said hello to Caleb this morning. Caleb's 12. He's sitting there behind me. If he's got the King of Kings in his heart, he can have a big impact in his school tomorrow morning. Mm. Just through the words that he says and, the interactions that he has. I'm looking at Hannah here. She's been appointed to head up the CU at her university.
Come on.
And Okay, so my heart stirred to really pray that she would have a big influence. So sorry to embarrass you, Hannah. But also the other thing is, you know, Caroline and I have been talking, you know, God is in her workplace. And, you know, she's on people. We know she's on a lady called Kate and on her family. And it's just amazing to see, you know. Is that all right?
Could we just, before we do it, what I'd really like to do is to take some of the things that we've learned and then to sort of pray it into our own lives. So can I just ask, if you are involved in any area of education, or if you're at school, or if, I know there are some other people that aren't necessarily formally in education, but you are involved in teaching people certain things, could I just ask in a minute for you to stand, and Jerry's going to pray over you, that actually that we've often had teachers and people involved in education in this church. So I think it'd be really good just to pray for God's anointing on us, that we would learn what it is to carry the goodness of God. Is that okay, Jerry? Could you just stand?
Wow. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we are standing in your presence, Jesus. And we want to pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill us afresh. Lord Jesus, that every single person standing here would just be anointed by you, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that we would do ordinary things, but you'd make them extraordinary. Father God, that the words that we say, that the smile that we smile, the kindness that we show, would have a big, big impact in people around us, Father. So anoint every single person here who's involved in a school. Give them a big influence, Lord Jesus. Open doors before them just to see your kingdom come. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Thank you, Jerry. It's exciting. So there was a big theme going away of taking the gospel out into the world, but there was also some really exciting stuff with people being healed and encountering God. And Pete, would you like to come up and just share? This is quite an extraordinary story. It's just very, very exciting.
Well, it's the ordinary me and God using it to make extraordinary things happen. I went to a seminar on the Sunday afternoon, a prophecy seminar, and a large space developed next to me. I was sitting down. And they wheeled a lady in a wheelchair into it. And she had very brightly coloured hair, South African. And we were just... and we were just talking, and she had arthritic hips and a frozen ankle. And she was in this chair, but she looked me in the eye and said, "But I believe that I will be walking out from Catalyst this weekend." So we listened to the seminar, and then the guys at the front just prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. And I just did an ordinary thing, and I put my hand on her shoulder, and I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would fill her, would heal her. And she started shaking very violently, so much so that I thought she would fall out of her wheelchair. She carried on shaking, and I just prayed more of God. Heal her, touch her, and she was doing this with her hands. "Oh, I'm so hot, I'm so hot. Oh, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning." Oh, Lord, just want... Anyway, it ended, and we had another little chat, and I said, "Do you normally react like that to the Holy Spirit?" She said, "No, not that bad." So we said our goodbyes, and she wheeled off, and... I kept looking out because she was very noticeable and I couldn't see her. And on the Tuesday, we were in the main meeting and I saw this flash of hair. She's walking. What? She's walking. And I went up and she was walking with friends, and we hugged and we cried. And she said, "No, I went to another meeting," and I got up out of the chair and I walked. And she went away, and that was fantastic. And then we sat down and took communion, and she came dancing over and said, "I must take communion with you because God started the healing in that." And we took communion together, and we cried together, and then she danced off. And it was just... Fantastic.
We're going to get you to pray for people.
Now, Duncan's just said he wants me to pray for people, but I want to. This doesn't happen. This is ordinary, and if it's extraordinary, but if anybody here this morning has a pain in their right mouth, then I want to pray for that.
So what we're going to do is, I don't know if you noticed, but Pete was reluctant to say that that woman wanted to take communion because you prayed for me, Pete, and God healed me. But actually, I think there's a new day of actually stepping into, actually God is going to use us really quite powerfully and actually to be expectant of it. So what I'd like you to do is, I'm going to ask in a minute everyone to stand up and everyone that is perfectly healthy to sit down again, okay? And then we're going to pray. So could everyone just stand up?
You're going to have to pray a big prayer.
We really believe God loves to heal us and God loves to... He said that we should expect even greater things. So I'm going to just ask, if you are perfectly healthy and in 100% health, can you just sit down? Good. Now, I bet you, if I had said if there's something wrong with you, all of you lot wouldn't have stood up, would you? So all we're going to do is, Pete is just going to pray over us and pray God's healing power at work in our lives. And then we'll see what God will do.
Father God, the extraordinary God, the God that moves in a mighty, mighty way.
Yeah.
We just ask that your Holy Spirit will fall upon us all afresh this morning.
Yeah. Come, Lord.
And you will heal our infirmities.
Yeah.
You've taken away our iniquities, and we just pray that you will heal us this morning.
Yeah. Lord.
Touch us all afresh. Yeah. Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, that your blood set us free to become extraordinary people in your kingdom.
Yeah.
Father God.
Father, thank you.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to just pray particularly for any food allergies. Oh. We want to pray against them. We want to pray against any hay fever that people are struggling with. We come against it now in Jesus' name, and we command it to release your grip on these people right now, that we would be knowing what it is to walk in the freedom that you give us. And we know, oh Lord, that you love to intervene. We know that you love to break in. Lord, we know that you have said to pray that your will would be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And so we come now full of expectation that you will work and you will bring physical healing to our bodies right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please sit down. But if... Yeah, thank you. I know people would really say, well, just test it out. Even now, if you know that God has been doing something in your body and you feel better, please come and let me know. And you have to try and think, okay, can I do something that I couldn't do before? But I'd ask you to test it out, and then at the end of the service, just come and let me know, oh, I think God really did something in my life. Michelle, you have Ava with you, who is, but come on down and just, baby. Shall I try? Look, you can see. Look, you can see.
Okay. There
you
go. Catalyst Festival. Yeah, I went to see a guy called Alan Scott. He was the guy up there. He leads the Vineyard Church in Coleraine in Northern Ireland, and there's been fantastic things happening there. And I think the quote that sticks with me was, "Don't make your church the best in the city. Make your church the best for the city."
Yeah, amen.
And that means not just staying in here. It's great to come in here on Sunday morning and worship, but it means going out there. Jesus didn't stay in the synagogue. He went out amongst the people and touched their lives. He changed their lives, and I think that's what we're called to do. And I felt especially it was laid on my heart to pray for prostitutes, and I don't know where that came from because that's never happened before, because we've got a God that restores the dignity of those that have had their dignity taken away from them, and they don't have to have shame anymore in him, and I really feel called to that. So what that looks like, I'm not sure, but I'm quite excited.
Very good. Okay.
So can we pray for you?
Yeah.
So prostitution is the thing that will always be close to us. We just need to recognise that, and particularly in a big city, and there will always be people whose lifestyle and addictions or habits will force them to take steps that they really do not like taking. And actually we need men and women of compassion who will go and non-judgmentally go and speak words of real grace and truth and love. And did you know what? That even people who sell their bodies for sex are real people. And they have real hopes, and they have real fears, and they have things that they really enjoy, and television programs that they really enjoy watching. But most of all, they need to know the hope and the love of Jesus in their lives. And we need people whose grace is on their lives to bring that to them. So I think what I'd be really like to do is, if you feel that you in any way connect with that for whatever reason, I'm just going to ask you in a minute to stand up, reach out your hand, and Dave is going to pray for Michelle. Is that okay? So if in any way you just think, oh, yeah, I would like to at least support somebody who's involved in that, and I don't think you really know how you would go about it. Michelle did speak to somebody from a church up in Luton. Was it Luton?
Yeah.
Who, they do have a ministry working amongst sex workers. But actually, no, well, Michelle will go and speak to them and just see, well, I don't know where it will lead to, but let's see what happens. So if you feel in any sense a connection with that, or a sense of, yeah, I want to support somebody who's in it, could you just stand up right now, just reach your hand out, and Dave is going to pray.
Yeah, Father, we want to thank you for what you've started in Michelle.
Yeah.
And we want to prophesy and declare over her that she would be good news to many people caught up in this industry, that she'd be good news to prostitutes and to those caught up in sort of slavery in this area. Mm. And Father, we thank you that this is the mandate of Isaiah 61 to bring joy where there is mourning and where there is ashes. And Lord, we want to speak into this situation. We want to speak. Would you pour out your amazing grace? Would you pour out your empowering grace that a ministry would be birthed right here, right now, that would have a legacy of seeing men and women come into incredible freedom through all the adventures that Michelle goes on with you and the team that comes around her. Father, we thank you that this is being spoken about in our church already, Lord, and it's a confirmation of a prophecy that already exists. And Lord, we speak life.
Come on, Lord.
We speak blessing.
Yeah.
We speak wholeness to our community, that we'd be a church that would serve our community for the glory of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all that you're doing in Michelle right now, and the radical faith that you're stirring in her heart. Mm. Bless her, equip her, Father, with everything that she needs, resource her with heaven's abundance. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a few other things I just would like to share, and then we'll come back briefly and finish with a time of worship. Michelle said she talked about this guy, Alan Scott, who leads a church called Causeway Vineyard Church out in Coleraine on the northern coast. There's Io. You're here. He is going to hate us all for doing it. Okay, but I can take that. Okay, just wave, Io, and say hello to him. There he is. Okay, he's the man. Sorry for doing that. There was one thing, there are a few things that stuck out to me that actually what we were, let me just find this. Alan Scott said very clearly that he reminded us that Jesus said from Matthew 16, that he will build his church. And he also said that from Matthew 9, we are sent out into the harvest field. So Jesus said he'll build the church, and we are sent out into the harvest field. But so often, we try to trade jobs with God. And I know that I'm partly responsible. I say, okay, I will build the church. God, thank you very much. And when I build the church, you go out into the harvest field and bring people in. I'll build it here, you bring people in. And it was just so wrong. Because Jesus said, no, I will build my church and send you out into the harvest field. And I just felt it was such a helpful moment for us to say that sometimes we can get consumed with church and what we do. And we do want to do church well. You know, we do want to have coffee and we do want to have chairs and we do want to have a building and we want to be able to sit down. But actually, it is God's responsibility to build us together. It's not that we're looking for a vision for the church. God has already given us a vision to be salt and light to an unbelieving world. And I felt that was just a really helpful correction for me. And as I was thinking about that, we came back from the Catalyst Festival, which was up in Warwickshire, at the Royal Agricultural Showground, and we came back, what day did we get back?
Tuesday,
and then Wednesday I went to Morrison's. I really like Morrison's up at Stirling Corner. And Jill doesn't, by the way, but anyway, I did. So I went there, and a lady was serving me, a lady called Kay, and I ended up praying for Kay while she was giving me her receipt back. Now, the thing is, I want to tell you about it because I hear stories about people doing things like this. You know, and the guys from the Vineyard Church were saying, oh, you know, in the airport, I led 4 people to Christ. And I just think, how on earth? I don't know. How did you do that? You know, it's just weird. And I don't. So I want to tell you, if I can, word for word, almost, this brief conversation that I had with Kay. Because I believe that if God can use me to do that, God can use absolutely anybody to speak grace into somebody's life. So I rocked up at the thingy, and we were scanning these things, and I said to this lady, Kay, who I reckon must have been sort of 55, 60, have you had a nice day? She said, yeah, it's okay. Scanning. And I said, oh, okay. And I can't remember what I then said. I said, oh, has it been busy? And she said, yeah, it has, but actually it's been a bad day. Oh, okay, slightly odd. Okay, fair enough. So and then we keep scanning it, and then I talked about the bread and all sorts of other things like that. And then I just said, okay, I've been hearing about, you know, everything that we're talking about is taking the gospel out from the church. It's not about here, it's about out. And I just said to her, look, okay, if I could pray for anything for you, what would it be? I just thought, that was the deal-breaker moment. If I could pray for anything. And she said, well, I've just had a 43-year relationship breakup, and I'm homeless.
Wow.
Okay. But you say, oh, no, that's awful. And it sounds really laden with pathos. But she was scanning my groceries at the time. You know, so it wasn't a really big thing. She just was telling me, oh, yeah, well, I've just been in this really bad relationship. And, you know, that's the way it goes, you know. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And so, well, I just said, well, I will pray for you. And I didn't quite have the heart, I didn't have the bottle to say to her, well, if you give your life to Jesus, you know, you can do that right now. And I just said to her, look, I'm going to pray that you'll find somewhere to live in the next week. And if you do, will you go and find a church and just say hello? And excuse my language, but she said, if that happens, it'll be a bloody miracle. And I said, well... And I said, well, to be honest, Kay, it will be a miracle because I'm going to pray that God would give you something. So she then gave me my receipt, folded it over, and as like pretend to give me something. And as I said, I just said, dear Lord Jesus, give Kay somewhere to live in the next week. Amen. Job done. And you know, and that was it. And I did say to her, surely a Christian has prayed for you before, knowing that she would probably say no. She said, no, never. But all I just want to say, there is something about, wouldn't it be great if anybody who came into Colindale or Barnet or wherever we live, they just knew somebody was going to pray for them, whatever circumstances they found themselves. So that, I think, was one of the things that was really, really exciting.
Did you have to change numbers?
No, because that would be odd. Chris said, did we exchange numbers? I'm not... No, I did not exchange numbers with a cashier in Morrison's. But she did say which church do I go to, and I did tell her. I did say I'd go to Trinity Church If you ever come down there, you're really welcome. But I just said, no, go and find somewhere. Go and find a church where they love Jesus and see what God does in your life. The other thing that I just wanted to bring to us at the end is I went to a seminar on the prophetic, which was really very good. And there's a guy called Phil Wilfew, who is he's one of the leaders up at the church in the King's Arms in Bedford, and he's just a really great, great guy. In fact, at one point, we went to the cinema with Jill, my wife. Really unhelpfully, Jill said to Phil, "Phil, I think I love you more than I love my husband." Which, that's a bit of a blow, to be honest. We do know him quite well, okay, but he is a guy who he just speaks real grace and truth and biblical understanding. And we really love him. And what Phil did was he, and I just want to mention this to you really quickly, is Phil talked about there are four like phases that people go through in developing a prophetic ministry. Firstly, it's an ability that when somebody shares something prophetic, the other person is encouraged. They think, oh, yeah, we like that. That's good. Okay, that's the first one, ability. The second one was calling, and that's the ability of somebody to say, no, I believe God has put this on me to speak something of prophetic encouragement to other people. And because when it all goes wrong, you do need to know that God has called you to this. So ability and calling. And then the third thing was connection. That there's a people who have a prophetic gifting, have a growing sense of favor with other people. And with God, and other people begin to recognize a calling, and there's a connection. That's somebody who's not working in isolation. They're not just off doing their own little thing, but they're plugged into something wider. They've learned to submit to a wider mission. And then there was the other thing of, and in part of that connection, that somebody releases prophetic gifting in other people as well. And then lastly, that there was a sense of anointing, this recognition of, this person has got a growing prophetic gift. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I feel that I would really love us to pray for Dave. Because I feel that, actually, what we're doing is that we're so a church orientated to being good news in the community. And actually, I want to pray for, because I believe that those four things, that Dave has a growing ability to be prophetic. I don't think we're not going to start calling him Prophet Dave, okay, just so you know. And I think it's a big step to say, oh, that person is a prophet. But I think it is sometimes quite helpful to say, we recognise something of God's gifting on this person. And we, because sometimes prophet, it does say that prophets aren't recognised in their hometown. And you think, that's a real shame. And actually, we want to see it, you know, come to the fore. So I think there's an ability. I think there's a calling on Dave to be prophetic. I think there's a connection in the sense that many more people are becoming prophetic because Dave, and for me, that is a big test. Is a prophet somebody who just does all the stuff themselves? Or is somebody who's got prophetic gifts, they release prophetic gifts in other people, and that's the key thing. And so I just think it's a good moment to say that, Dave, we recognize this prophetic gifting on your life, and we want to support you and release you and say, come into all that God has got for you. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, I like that, good. Can we stand? Dave, just come out here. Jerry, do you want to come out? Why don't a few people just come and gather, if you're near the front, just come and gather around Dave and lay your hands on him. Just come out. Can I just say, we just want to recognize gifting. This isn't about appointing somebody as a prophet. I just want to be really clear on that. But we are saying that actually there is a gifting on Dave that we want to see released more. Because the more we see it released, the more we become a prophetic voice into a community. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the way that you have led Dave. I thank you for that seminar that he led at Catalyst. I want to thank you for the people that are gathering. I want to thank you for the growing prophetic emphasis that there is in the church. I want to thank you, O God, for the way that Dave will consistently pray for people in his workplace, when he's training them in the gym, as part of that business. I want to thank you for that. And we say, oh God, would we be a people that hear your voice clearly? I want to ask, would we be a prophetic voice into Colindale and into Barnet and into Brent and into Harrow and into Enfield and into Hertfordshire and all these places? We say, Lord, come upon us as your people. And we say, we want to release even greater giftings amongst us. Father, thank you.